It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Coming up on episode number 89 of Sports Day Plus. 6:15, it's the first of a three-segment chat with comedian Bobby Kelly, ahead of his headlining shows at the Comedy Mothership this weekend. And in mere minutes, Final Four tickets are punched. Plus, we have some potential NFL news involving the Cowboys and an Ezekiel Elliott reunion. I am your host, Trey Elling. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Courtesy Wave. And do the same for ESPN Austin at 1027 ESPN. Well, congratulations to the four teams that will be taking part in this year's Final Four, happening starting next Saturday out in Arizona in the greater Phoenix area. Those teams, as you likely know by now, include the Alabama Crimson Tide, making their first ever trip to the Final Four, UConn, trying to win it once again, and boy, do they look like a juggernaut right now, as does Purdue, who has been steamrolling teams in this tournament as well. And then there is the Cinderella slash underdog story that is NC State, a team that heading into the ACC tournament was left for dead. They win 5 games in 5 days and only continued winning from there. And much to everybody's joy, even those of us who don't really follow college basketball all that closely anymore, to get to the Final Four, they had to beat ACC foe Duke, who nobody outside of, well, Duke fans wants to see Duke win even anymore, even without Coach K no longer there. NC State knocked them off in a performance that really wasn't that close down the stretch. And this tournament is great. This time of year is great in part because of these Cinderella stories. You don't want too many of those, but it will be a whole lot of fun to watch these four teams battle it out starting next Saturday night. It does feel like a Purdue-UConn championship game is on the horizon, but the past is the past. These other two teams have made it there because they played really good team basketball. NC State is a force to be reckoned with. Got the big guy down low, DJ Burns Jr. Maybe going to give Zach Edey some run for his money, but Zach Edey proving why he is considered by many to be the player of the year in college basketball. On the women's side, the Longhorn women fell just short of a Final Four appearance, losing to the women's NC State team yesterday. Weird circumstances surrounding that game with the three-point line not being even on both ends in Portland, where that Sweet 16 and Elite 8 was being played. Bad look, NCAA, as you attempt to show everybody that the women deserve as much respect for the men. Well, that starts with basic court measurements. Bad look by you. But kudos to Vic Shaver and his roster, who were not quite left for dead, but dealt a serious blow when they lost their star player midway through the year. And the rest of that team did what they had to turn them into a one seed, a conference champ, of course, and a team that makes it all the way to the Elite Eight before bowing out to the NC State women. I'm not going to spend too much time on college basketball right now because I'm going to be honest with you. I watch bits and pieces of these games down the stretch, but the NCAA tournament has become, for me, much like what the NBA has been for a lot of people for a long time, regular season NBA especially, and that is tuning in to the last 5 minutes or so of close games. It may extend a little bit more than that at times if it seems like a fun matchup. But I have no interest in watching two teams duke it out to see who the first to get to 50 can be. I know scoring overall is up in the tournament this year, but there have been a lot of ugly offensive basketball games in the tournament this season too. What I do want to talk about, though, is a little bit more in the way of football. The Dallas Cowboys have had a relatively quiet offseason. Well-documented quiet offseason at this point, which is even more notable after Jerry Jones initially said they're going all in this year, then he backs off that a week later, and the Cowboys did very little in free agency. And so now there's a bit of a waiting game to see what this team does in the draft, which is, what, 3.5 weeks away at this point? Cowboys do have a need at running back with Tony Pollard signing with the Tennessee Titans. Not the only guy that they've lost, but one of the more notable names considering that he is at that running back position. One of those skill guys. Well, how about this report from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler? The Cowboys and running back Ezekiel Elliott have mutual interest in a reunion. While a deal between Elliott and his former club has not been reached, both sides are open to it. Apparently, Dallas was a big fan of how Zeke finished the 2023 season with the New England Patriots. He played all 17 regular season games and saw a major increase in workload over the final month or so after the team's top rusher, Ramondre Stevenson, was sidelined with a high ankle sprain. Zeke does turn 29 in July. And if you remember back to last offseason, he had to wait all the way until August till he was ultimately signed by the New England Patriots. So you would assume this would be a one-year deal that isn't necessarily going to be breaking the bank salary-wise. His deal with the Patriots was for just $3 million for 1 year. And that is after he spent his first 7 years in Big D. What do you think, Cowboys fans? You like that? Or does that feel like a little bit of a stretch? Does that feel like setting McCarthy and Dak and the rest of this roster up for failure in 2024 so that Jerry and company can make those sweeping changes that people have been predicting? Real quick before we hit the commercial break, speaking of the NFL draft, Matt Miller, who does a great job covering the draft for ESPN.com, notable Longhorn fan, too, by the way. He joined this show a year ago. I may try and get him on again before we get to the NFL draft here. He just put out prospects with first-round grades, some comps for these guys. So, for instance, you have Caleb Williams, who gets an Aaron Rodgers comp. Jalen Daniels gets a Lamar Jackson comp. Drake May, Justin Herbert comp. Scroll down to the wide receivers, where there are two Longhorns that have first-round grades, but only one who gets the Matt Miller comp. And that would be A.D. Mitchell. Who does A.D. Mitchell remind Matt Miller of? George Pickens? Somewhat of a similarity in body type. I would say that there's a significant difference in attitude or perceived attitude, but this is what Matt Miller has to say about A.D. Mitchell comparing him to George Pickens. Mitchell had a dominant 2023 season after transferring to Texas from Georgia with 11 touchdown receptions and just one dropped pass. The 6'2", 205-pounder ran a 4.34 40-yard dash at the combine, highlighting his burst and ability to run past defenders vertically. In five career college football playoff games, Mitchell had 5 touchdowns. He is a gamer and a first-round pick. Now, George Pickens is extremely talented as a wide receiver. But again, this comes down to who might be a better locker room guy, who might be a better team guy. And I guess you're maybe making this comparison sheerly based on physical attributes and capabilities. And for that, it is a decent comp. But when you look at the whole picture, I think the comp starts to lose a little bit of its value. I like George Pickens a lot, by the way, as a player. I just hope that last season served as a sort of wake-up call for him. And of course, now that he has different quarterbacks throwing the football, maybe he'll be able to maximize his abilities as a pass catcher on the outside. All right, that is it for the sports talk today. That's because coming up, I have a 3-segment conversation with the hilarious Robert Kelly. He's going to be headlining at Cap City Comedy Club this weekend. He joins me on the other side to talk stand-up and a whole lot more right here on Sports Day Plus.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Robert Kelly is a longtime stand-up comedian who is headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend. Check out his work at robertkellylive.com. And he now joins me for three segments to talk comedy and more. Robert, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm great. Good talking to you again.
Good to talk to you, man. What's up?
You sticking around for the total eclipse on next Monday? Sticking around to Austin for that?
No. Girl, f*** about an eclipse. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
There are partial eclipses all the time. It's like a true on total eclipse where the sky is going to go completely dark, supposedly, because the moon will be blocking out the sun with every aspect of the sun except the outer ring.
And you can't look at it, right?
You can actually look at it during a total eclipse. It's the partial eclipses that'll supposedly make you go blind. Those are the eclipses that schools are canceling a day of school for on Monday because they're worried that kids are going to look up without the glasses and go blind.
So they're going to cancel school on next Monday?
There are some schools that are doing that. There's a school in New Jersey that's doing that. There's a couple of other schools that have been reported on. It's so soft, dude. I mean, it's just such a representation of where we are in 2024, I think.
What happened to letting the universe filter the weak ones out?
I feel like
if you don't look up and you look up and go blind, you're one of those.
It's on you, exactly. It's a survival of the fittest bit.
Watch, I'm crying on Monday because my kid looked up and went blind. We got to do something about the eclipses. We mandatory day on my son is blind.
My kid's school, because I've got a 9 and 7 year old, they sent an email out assuring the parents that we will keep your kids safe during the eclipse. We have glasses for everybody, and they will be told you cannot look up at the sun without the glasses on, which of course is asking kids to look up without the glasses on. But they also said, if you are that worried, we will make sure to keep your kids inside for this once in a lifetime event.
Yeah. I wouldn't stick around anywhere for an eclipse. I got to do, and I have a small amount of time to do it in.
I need 8 more hours in every day. There's too much to do and not enough time, unfortunately.
Yeah. And the time I have off, I got to go on vacation with the family, which I love, but.
Y'all heading anywhere fun this year?
I think we're going to spend, I have land in New Hampshire. During the pandemic, I bought a chunk of land up there and put a tiny house on it. And then I just bought another piece of land up there last year with like lake rights, you know, like there's a beach that it's part of it. So same road, but just a little further up, like, you know, so we're going to be spending a little more time up at that house. We went up this last week and went snowshoeing and, you know, hiking out in, you know, out in the mountains. He's getting into snowboarding and
wow.
I just like being up there, man. I like being in the woods. I love the city. I love Manhattan. I love the danger. I love my head's on a swivel, even though I hate it and I complain about it a lot. I love the fact that I'm a New Yorker. I've been here for 20 years and I, you know, I can get up. I go anywhere in the city. I know how to get anywhere. I know what train to take. I get my spidey senses. I know when something's about to go down. I know when to switch trains. I know when to keep my mouth shut. I know the city. You know what I mean? I love it, but I hate it. I complain about it. And that's what people who are from New York do. We moan about it. But I love going up the country. I put a bench out in the middle of my woods that I just go sit on, smoke a cigar by myself, and just, it's got a little babbling brook in front of it. I mean, you can't, you know, the trick, it's like your brain is like, well, check your phone. I mean, I'm literally in the woods by myself in front of a babbling brook, and then my brain's going, check your phone. You know, do something. It's my crazy brain. And now I feel like they figured out how to tap into our and how to program us. I think the Manchurian candidate is finally, they figured out how to get us through TV and through advertising. And now with social media, they figured out how to get us to just do this all the time and just fill our brain with. I flip flat. I'm voting for Biden 1 second. I'm Trump the next, Kennedy the next. I'm leaving the country after that. I'm part of a revolution. I want to get. I bought so many guns up in New Hampshire. It's crazy. You know what I mean? I don't even know. I don't know who is what and what's where. I don't know who's lying, who isn't. You know what I mean? Did Kennedy get assassinated? You know, I spent the podcast with Sam Tripoli. My head fell off. I mean, Michelle's a guy and he's a gay and the kids aren't theirs and we never went to space. I don't know what the hell's going on, dude.
I love Sam. Sam is a fellow Armenian. Believe it or not, I'm more Armenian than anything else, even though I don't really look it. And I've had the pleasure of chatting with him over the years, hanging out here and there. Sam is next level conspiracy. There's one level of conspiracy, the Rogan level of conspiracy. Sam just blows all of that out of the water. I tried to have him on the show a few months back when he was headlining at Vulcan Gas Company. I just asked him for some simple sports conspiracies. I mean, he went past outer space. He went to like galaxies away from where I thought he was going to go with things like Michael Jordan getting suspended for a year and a half or something like that.
Well, Sam, here's the great thing about Sam. Okay. He'll go bring it up, bring this up. He'll bring that up. So he has, look, I don't know how he has evidence to back up his claim. Now, you would have to get evidence on the evidence if you're really, of course, I'm not going to do that. I love the fun of it. I love that he goes, bring this up, bring that up. You know what I mean? Now, unfortunately, I'm the guy in the Matrix that just wants to have steak. You know what I mean?
Ignorance is bliss.
I know the steak's not real, but there's people that can do all, and then there's people that do nothing. And then there's people like me who I can do this and a little of that. And other than that, I want to enjoy my life, you know?
Yeah, the New Hampshire thing sounds great. And look, I love a big city too. Austin's kind of a big city, I guess. But living in Chicago for 7 years, I get what you're saying about just understanding the flow of that place, but also the need to step away and just disconnect from it all because your attention is just constantly being grabbed in so many different directions at once. And that was pre-pandemic too. Post-pandemic with things being as big of a show as they are now, apparently, in a lot of big cities, it's just one more layer of BS that you have to cut through each and every day.
I always thought, you know, getting up into the woods, oh my, you got to get the house, like, you know, you got to get the big cabin and on the lake and blah, blah, blah. It's really not. You just got to tell the people to go off. You'd be able to tell people to go themselves. Everybody has something to say. Everybody, this is the thing that sucks about now. Whereas when I grew up, you got made fun of or dealt with bullies through high school, maybe. And then it was done. Senior year done. There's no bullies in college. You know, when you went to the job, there was no bull. You went to your job. And then you were done, and your friends talk behind your back, and your family, we all talk behind it. You didn't know everything. Now, you're bombarded with bullies, you know, and people constantly just, with podcasting and this media, constantly, it's just everywhere. Back in the day, you wanted to listen to Stern. You had to tune in to K-Rock. At a certain time, there was no replay. There was no, you had to tape it. You know, so like if you lived in Boston, you didn't get him, but you wanted him. And then when he came, you were like, wow, 3 o'clock, you got the replay. Now everything is everything right now. I feel like we're being distracted in a major way. And to be able to shut it down and go up to New Hampshire, like, and, you know, blow all, dude, you got a little house, and what the
or it's small, you know, all that shit. You know, even the people up there, like people I know, it's like, you know, you want to get a house. It's like, shut up. Dude, we got a little tiny house. It's got two sleeping lofts, a bathroom, a kitchen, a living room, a dining room area. It's the shit. And I did it all in for under $300,000. I got two plots of land. You know, I got a tiny house. I got a beautiful, you know, all this, everything I wanted, I got. And I, you know, when you want something, you can just get it. You don't get other people's stuff. You kind of get your own, you know, and be grateful for that and be happy with it. And I couldn't be happier. The fact that we can go away, we went away on Wednesday and we just came back yesterday and up in the woods, different people, man. Look, I love the views in New York. I love the go yourselves. I love it. That's me. I'm from Boston. Off, you know, down there, over there. You know, I like the tonal. I have tonal issues. People think I'm a for so long. It's just, you know, what time is it? What? What time is it? What? I didn't hear you. 3 o'clock. I'm not being a hole. It's just the way we talk from Boston. But I love it up there too because it's just hi. You know, hey, Dunn. I kind of like that life too, where everybody's nice and happy. Dude, we're up there for Easter. Happy Easter. Happy everybody. Gas station. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. You go to New York, you're gonna walk through a pro-Palestinian parade and hope they don't know you're Catholic. You know.
Oh, man. He is comedian Robert Kelly headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend. Coming up, segment 2 of 3 with Robert on the other side.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Back with stand-up comedian Robert Kelly. He is headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend. No tickets for that available anymore, but you should still go to comedymothership.com to check out a future show. And you can find Robert's material on his website at robertkellylive.com. Robert, you were just talking about how much more pleasant people are where you own land in New Hampshire versus where you live in New York City. Do you find yourself adopting that mentality when you're around people in New Hampshire for long enough? Do you find yourself softening up a little bit?
Oh, I assimilate quick, baby. dude, if I lived in the South, I'd be like, hey, what's up, brother?
Yo,
I went to Hawaii. I gave hang loose the first day there. My wife almost divorced me. A honeymoon. I asked for directions the day after we got married. Oh, and I, brother, and I did that. And she was in the car looking down and she went, did you just give him the hang loose sign and say, brother? She went, ugh. You go up to New Hampshire, dude. It's just the fact that you can just go in and buy guns. I went into the gun store to pick up a gun my friend shipped me, number one best friend, Mike Calta, shipped me a gun from Tampa. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, can I get that? He's like, yeah. I go, can I get that? He goes, yeah. I go, what about that? He goes, you dual residence. You live here. Yes. You can get anything you want. I walked out holding guns, 500 rounds of ammo. It's great. Love it. I love that. I love that there's somewhere in the world I have guns.
You're right about there being too many people who have pulpits now, whether you're talking about social media, podcasts, or whatever else. And the concept of bullying has gotten convoluted as a result as well. Like my 9-year-old got in trouble at school this year because she wrote an ugly letter to a classmate. Her and a friend wrote an ugly letter to somebody that they were beefing with. It was not a good look for her, but the email that we got home from the vice principal was talking about if she does something like this again, this is bullying, this is serious, she may get kicked out of class or kicked out of school altogether. It's like, all right, yeah. Can we please take a breath, take a step back here? Yes, is it a good idea for her to do that? No, absolutely not. It's not the first time kids have written ugly letters to one another, and it's not like this other little 8 or 9-year-old is going to go off herself now, you know?
Well, the way they're raising kids, you got to be careful because these kids are so... They're raising kids so sensitive. There was something I read where my generation grew up with depression. Because we were stupid. Shut the up. Hit. Beat. Get over here, you idiot. We grew up with depression. This generation has grown up with anxiety.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's because they were, you know, don't do that. Stop. Please don't. No, stop. No. We're, you know, so, you know, like we went up. It's very important to me. If my son falls, get up. Get up. We were in Aruba and this other kid came over and pushed my kid. And my kid's a big kid. He's going to be like six something. He's got his mother's genes in him, you know, that Polack French Canadian big bone guy, you know. And the kid pushed him down and my son fell and just stayed down there. I walked over and I was like, get up. And they're like, are you all right, Max? I'm like, forget that. Get up. Get up. Dad, get up. Stand up. Tell him not to do that to you. And this is friends of the family, this kid. We're all friends. We know this kid. Tell him not to ever touch you again. And if he touches you again, you're going to touch him. You know? That was like at an early age. Get up. Don't lie on the ground. Now they can do whatever they want. Get up. Tell them not to touch you. You don't have to lay hands, you know. And then this year, my kid got in trouble at school. I was like, what happened? He goes, well, this friend of mine kept telling me this gang of kids, they were going to jump me, four or five kids. And what'd you do? I don't know. I looked at him and I went, hey, you, let's go. I was like, why'd you do that? He goes, because I was sick and tired of waiting. I just wanted to get it over with.
Good.
They're going to jump me. Let's just go. I was like, good. Reward. You did good.
Yeah,
you did good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the teacher's not going to deal with it, go ahead, deal with it.
No, the teachers are so afraid now. Like even basic trash talk is a lost art form, unfortunately, with younger kids. My kids complain that somebody called them a name. It's like, trash talk them back. Figure out something that's going to get under their skin. That's all they're doing to you right now. And you've let them win by coming home crying to mommy and daddy. But the anxiety thing is a big problem in part because of that technology that you were talking about. I feel like at some point it's going to start clicking for one of these younger generations because, look, is it healthy to acknowledge certain emotions, depression, anxiety, whatever else? Absolutely. But people go through hardships all the time. What is ultimately going to define people going forward is not just your ability to identify emotions, Bob, but the ability to respond in kind, how you react to that and how you change the path to make sure you're not going through that over and over again. Like some endless loop.
Yeah, but there's some stuff, you know, you're just going to have because of who you are internally. Some kids can take it, some kids can't. You know what I mean? Some kids take it and they don't want to take it. You know, I mean, as a parent, you got to be there. You know, I don't call my kid names. I don't, my kid, I called him a name the other day, I said something. I go, that's pretty stupid. And he was like, that didn't feel good, Dad. So he's in touch with his feelings enough to go, hey, dude, that didn't feel good. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. You know, you should go about this a different way. That's going to, you know, and explain to him instead of just, so I'm fine. Be in touch with your feelings, bro. Tell me when I just step over the line and we can deal with it. But that doesn't get you out of trouble.
So I'm a little bit bummed at the timing of you coming back to Austin, Bob, because believe it or not, I am going to the woods this weekend. I'm going with a group of friends for a bachelor party to Big Bend in West Texas.
Going to the woods to get naked with your friends and do some last hoorahs together.
We're in an Airbnb, thankfully, and I hope to be in a bedroom that I can actually lock the bedroom door because I don't plan on staying up all night like some of these guys do, but we'll see what happens.
That sounds like fun, though.
Yeah, no, it's going to be. I've never been to Big Bend before. I've lived most of my life in Texas, and so this is the one national park in this state. We're going to be really close to the border, so we're going to canoe across the Rio Grande to go to a sleepy little Mexican border town on the other side. We're going to hike in the wilderness. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
So people are going to be going that way.
I know. This way. Ironic. We have to bring our visas with us too, apparently, or our passports with us too, apparently.
So funny. You can't break into Mexico. You can't get in without your visa.
We got to show the guy who's about to canoe us back to the U.S. that we are legal U.S. residents, apparently.
Hilarious, dude. As an American, you can't get back in. But if you have a half a jug of water and a baby, you can just come on in and get a cell phone.
It should be a lot of fun. We'll see. Maybe I'll be trapped in Mexico. I won't be able to come back for the eclipse on Monday.
I think they have the eclipse in Mexico too.
They do, but we're going to be too far west.
Okay.
So we're just going to have to go deeper into Mexico to get the total eclipse, the path of totality, as they call it.
So funny, man. Going to Mexico for, I don't know why that has become a thing with dudes when we want to celebrate, go to Mexico. That's like the ultimate celebration.
Yeah. And that's not
Aren't you worried about getting whacked?
In Mexico?
Yeah.
Not where we're going to be, no. No, we're going to be in a pretty remote part of this state and then Mexico too. So it's not like we're in Juarez or something.
Okay, dude. Yeah, be careful, dude.
I'll try to be careful. Try to be careful. You performed at the Mothership about a year ago. Speaking of technology or disconnecting, one of the great things about the Mothership is everybody has to put their phone in those Yonder pouches. I love taking people to that club because you do watch people go through the withdrawal symptoms. It's like they have tics, how often they're reaching for their phone or they're trying to take a picture or something or look something up. It's like, no, we just got to be here in the present and chat until the comedy starts. What was your last experience like headlining the Mothership?
I don't know. It was kind of surreal. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a club comic. You know, that's my thing. I know everybody's doing a damn arena now.
Arenas suck to see stand up. I know that people go enjoy stand up there. Arenas are terrible. Theaters are borderline not good for stand up if you're too far back in the theater.
I mean, look, theaters are great. The size of it depends on, you know, but you know, they're made for music, not really comedy. But I love theaters. I've done arenas, you know, I've done all of them, you know, but you know, I'm a club guy. So to play a club like the Mothership, you know, and now, of course, people are kind of coming at it. But it's like, you know, they created this. They got the best of the best to create a club. I mean, Adam, what he did with the Comedy Store is crazy. So, and he took all that and did it with the Mothership and all the people that work there. You walk in, they're nice. How you doing, Robert? They let you right in. There's no bullshit. I've gone into comedy clubs like, yo, you need a ticket. Yo, that's, you're standing under my headshot. And it's, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, sorry. All right, whatever. You know what I mean? But thank God at this time of my career, I don't really work clubs I don't like anymore. The clubs I do work are the ones I love.
That's good.
And that treat comics well. And Mothership, it was pretty wild, you know? And like to be in that green room and to go out and go under, it's, you know, you get nervous. I don't know, man. It was pretty surreal and awesome. And the crowds were great. The staff was great. And, you know, there wasn't much of a hang. I thought, you know, because I went the first time and it was everybody.
Yeah.
But on the weekends, they kind of like whoever the headliner is, that's kind of their thing. But hopefully some people will come by and hang out a little bit. And, I loved it, man. It's, you know, it's just out of the gate, one of the best clubs in the world.
We're going to continue this conversation on the other side with comedian Robert Kelly, headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend. Check out his work at robertkellylive.com. Coming up, one final segment with Robert Kelly right here on Sports Day Plus.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Final segment with the hilarious Robert Kelly. He is headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend. No tickets available for his Friday and Saturday shows. It's been sold out for a couple weeks now. You should still check out a show at the Mothership. Go to comedymothership.com to find those tickets that are available. Robert's work can be found at his website, robertkellylive.com. Bob, we were just talking about the Mothership, and you get a little bit spoiled there because they don't serve food, which I think is a great idea. I was at Cap City this last weekend to see Hannibal Buress, and I realized how much of a distraction food was as that show was going on. It's like the smell of fried chicken tenders through the air, and you know the waiters and waitresses having to go back and forth to deliver this crap to one table or another. To not have to deal with that in the mothership is really nice.
Yeah, there's a way to do it. And some clubs do it better than others. You know, some of the improvs that I work know how to do it. You know, the check spot sucks.
What is a check spot?
That's when they, around 15, 20 minutes left of your act, they drop the check.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got to pay. So you literally lose chunks of the crowd. So you build, and all of a sudden, there's a thing that's happening where you're like, oh, there's people not listening for some reason. You can feel it. It's palatable. You know, you can feel it in the energy. Oh, and you look down, they're doing a check, and they're figuring out the math, and there's six people, and they got to, are you paying? You know, it's just a stupid thing to do. They don't do it at movies. They don't do it at theater. You know, they don't do it any other live entertainment except stand-up comic. They do it. It's an old relic way of doing things. Just like they figured out the phones, clubs need to figure out the check spot because it goes on during the guy everybody came to see.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. You know, sub clubs just don't do it. You need a stamp receipt to leave. They drop all the checks at the end. Does it add an extra 20 minutes? Yeah. Who gives a some people, you know, the last guy goes, then the host goes back up and does 10, 15 minutes at the end, promoting all the other shows, like Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie. That's where they brought the MC back up. And at the beginning of the show, look, your checks are getting dropped at the end of the show. Please stay in your seats, pay your bill, and you need a stamp receipt to leave. And that's how you get out. So, and I'll be up here, we'll be talking, but you know, that's another way to, there's ways to figure it out, but that's a great, you don't have to lose half the audience during your set on that last 15 minute, boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden you got to start over in the whole chunk front row. It's like, I got to build everything back up again. You know, to where it's going to be. That kind of, I hate those. I hate that. Figure that out.
Now, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, your last stand-up special was Killbox. Hilarious, by the way, for anybody who has not checked it out just yet. That was about a year and a half ago. Are you getting ready to film something new, Bob?
No, not right now. No? I'm working on, you know, this. I've been pretty busy. I got, you know, the Bonfire.
Yeah.
With Big J,
which
I wound up taking over for the great Dan Soda. So that's every day. I got the YKWD. Now we got the Regs, which is an offshoot of YKWD with me, Lewis, Dan, and Joe List. And I have Bone to Pick podcast with Paul Verzi.
Lewis Katz?
Lewis J. Gomez.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Legion of Skanks. Gotcha.
So, you know, I got a lot of stuff happening every day. I think I'll start working on that probably this summer at some point, start getting it down, and then maybe a year or so. I think I'm going to shoot it at the Comedy Connection Rhode Island when I'm done with it. You know, look, man, you know how many specials came out last month?
It's crazy.
52.
There is a comedy bubble forming right now, unfortunately.
It's just, you know, what is a special, you know? And I think people are churning out specials too quick. So now people are watching comedy or not finished comedy or comedy that could have been better if you waited another year. You know, I think back in the day, it was 3 to 5 years. Everybody did a comedy. Your first special takes 15 years. I don't know. I'm just not in that mode right now of get another special out. I probably should be, but I'm just not. You know, I'm writing a script right now with Dennis Leary and his son, trying to get that to its final stages. Also, comedy camp that, you know, we're trying to get funding for right now.
What is that?
It's a show, a reality show, where I take five comics up into the woods for 5 days with nothing, and they have to learn how to survive. There's no craft services. There's no anything. There's no managers or agents. There's no phones. You're not calling anybody. You're not leaving. If you leave, you quit. Whoever survives the best at the end and figures it out the most and gets enough patches on their Girl Scout sash wins. 24-hour filming in the woods. Right now, we might be filming up in Canada or down in Atlanta. I wanted to film in New Hampshire, but I don't know if it's going to happen. We're getting funding right now, you know, so I got to put my money into it. And it's a little, you know, we're trying to do it that way instead of going the streaming way, We're gonna fund it ourselves.
Okay, in a 3-man competition between five. I know this is 5, but I'm coming up with a top 3 right now. In a 3-man competition between Big J, Soder, and Luis J. Gomez, who wins that one?
Oh, Luis.
Okay.
Yeah, Dan's gonna quit first day because he wants to go back and pat his dog and hang out with his chick. And Jay's gonna quit because he needs baby wipes and cigarettes and snacks to be comfortable and lie on his stomach on a bed, on a king size bed, to do tummy time. And Lewis has been a feral dog since he was born. You can drop Lewis off in the middle of anywhere, he'll come back. You can drop Lewis in Fallujah during the Sunni Triangle. He'd come out with a belt made of ears and noses.
Oh, God. All right. Last thing now, Bob, because I've heard Steve Byrne tell this story, but I would love to get your version of this. And it has to do with him borrowing a camcorder of yours to film an SNL tryout and you just eviscerating him with it afterwards.
Okay. You got to understand our relationship. I get a lot of shit for the Steve Byrne roast debacle.
Dude, I love Steve Byrne, by the way. He tells it endearingly. People may give you for it, but it's a hilarious story.
I love Steve. I love his family. I do. I love him. But Steve Burns is a mean guy too. Okay. I'm in Vegas at the Hard Rock back when before they had the little ticket that comes out. You got nickels or you got pennies or you got quarters, right? I accidentally put a 20 into a nickel slot machine. That's 400 nickels. I got to go. The show's happening. I got to go get showered and shave. I'm standing there with a bucket in a line at the cashier with a 400 nickels in a bucket. Steve Byrne walks up. Hey, man, what's going on? Nothing. I got 400. Before I get 400 out, he slaps the bucket out of my hand. All you hear is shh. I'm like, what the? The whole place goes, oh. People are laughing at me. I'm like, I go to walk away. Security, nah. Pick him up. So now I got on the floor at the Hard Rock. I'm performing there. I'm on my hands and knees picking up nickels. I look like an asshole. And then I look in front of me and the guy bends down. I see him pick something up and I go, hey, did you just take some of my nickels? He's like, no. I'm like, you didn't just take a nickel? He's like, no. So then I get up. I pick up all the nickels. I give him up. $19.90. This piece of shit took 2 of my nickels.
Wow.
So now I'm walking around looking for, I'm finding this guy. Another half hour looking for this piece of garbage. And Steve Byrne, and he just walked away laughing. That's Steve Byrne. So yes, I let him borrow my camera to do his SNL audition tape, which is a very sacred private thing that only Lorne Michaels and the producers of SNL will ever see. Yes, I let him do it. Did he leave the tape in my cassette, my video recorder, my Super 8? Yes, he left it in. Did I edit that down into a video that I played at the Patrice O'Neill roast in front of every comic in New York City and all the agents and managers? Yes, I did. Did he do TRL Tammy? Hey, I'm TRL Tammy. With his hair in a ponytail. Did he do Enrico Iglesias? I can be a hero with a mole on his cheek. Yes, he did. Did he do Dunkershen? Yes, he did. And I regret that. And I feel bad about that. I might have taken it a little too far.
Oh, you actually regret it?
I might regret doing that in front of everybody. Did I erase the tape? Yes, I did. Do I still have a copy somewhere? I might. Just in case that gets out of line.
Oh, man. He is a great Bob Kelly. Bob, thank you so much for the time today. People can go to robertkellylive.com to check out everything that you're doing. And
go to punchup.live/robertkelly/tickets. Or just go to punchup.live and look me up. Sign up for my stuff. You'll see my special for free is at punchup.live. My special Kill Box is up there. a bunch of other uncensored. It's an uncensored platform, unlike YouTube.
PunchUp.live.
PunchUp.live is a new place to go. Uncensored stand-up. So go there. You can watch it uncensored in its entirety up on PunchUp. So go there. Check me out. And hopefully I'll see you guys, some of you guys, this weekend at the mothership.
No doubt. Thank you so much for the time, man. Safe travels to and from this weekend.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later. Have a great bachelor party. Stay safe.
That is it for another edition of Sports Day Plus. Stay tuned. Tomorrow night, we've got a two-part conversation with legendary skateboarder Tony freaking Hawk. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's show. Have yourselves a great rest of the night. Talk to you tomorrow at 6. In the meantime, hook 'em.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elliott.